from the Carter Subaru Studios, this is the G and Ursula Show with G. Scott and Ursula Voitine.
Welcome, welcome, everybody. This is our Fresh Friday show, but as you can tell, G is not here today. He is finally taking a well-deserved day off. Felix Bunnell is my co-host this morning. Good morning, Felix.
Good morning, Ursula. How are you doing today?
Good. How much coffee have you had? Because you're going to have to step it up if you're going to be filling in for G. Usually just on Friday, yeah. He's out of control.
Just my regular 6 shots of espresso. That's all I have. Kind of a Polish version of an Americano I call a Polski. Very simple.
Okay. Yeah. Okay, well, you know, we're going to have a very busy show today. I've got to tell you, I've already cried once this morning. Coming up at 9:33, we are going to be hearing from our friend and our colleague, Chris Sullivan. He's going to be telling us why he's been off of work for the last 2 weeks. And it's a very emotional story, and we just appreciate so much that he is willing to share what he's been battling. And as you can imagine, you can guess that he's had COVID and he's trying to get to the other side of that battle. So we will talk with him coming up at 9:33. But right now, let's do our top 5 stories of the day brought to you by Economy Fence Center. So we do finally have a date, Felix. Governor Inslee says the state is on track to fully reopen by June 30th.
This is a huge step forward. It is a new chapter in our fight against COVID.
He says the widespread availability of the COVID vaccine has been a game changer in the fight against the virus. Case rates and hospitalizations are going down in Washington. Nearly 60% of people 16 and older have gotten at least their first shot. And the governor says the reopening date could be moved up even sooner if we get that immunization rate to 70% or more. In the meantime,
on Tuesday next week, every county will have the opportunity to be in phase 3 of Healthy Washington, including those that are currently in phase 2.
But the governor stresses this does not change local decision making, meaning that counties that want to remain or move back to phase 2 can still do so. And Felix, are you still there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here.
Yes.
I wasn't sure if the governor was going to tell us anything more. I was waiting, hanging on Governor Inslee's every word. No, the news yesterday, it kind of, can't remember what time of day it was. I don't even remember where I was when I heard it, because it was sort of, it didn't really register for me right away, because all throughout the pandemic, it's been clear to me there wasn't ever going to be what I would call a VJ Day moment, where the war is over and we can go in the streets and party and everyone's on the same page and excited. But it has kind of sunk in overnight that this is a pretty big deal that happened yesterday. And maybe May 13th, 2021 will be the day in history where it says the pandemic really shifted, because this really is. I mean, it's a big difference, right? Because I've been wearing a mask. I don't know when we started wearing masks, but it feels like it's been years. And I hate how it fogs up my glasses. I'm so glad that I got vaccinated a couple of weeks ago. I still need to, my second dose was about a week ago, so I had another week to wait till I'm fully vaccinated. But it's really sinking in this morning what a big deal this really is.
I am so glad that he finally gave a roadmap for getting out of this. And I truly believe that if he had not done so with this latest announcement, I think that he would have lost even his most ardent supporters who've agreed with how he's handled the pandemic so far, because we really are one of the last states to have a plan to get out.
I remember I saw that. Yeah, it's that New York Times graphic where it showed, here's the states that have plans. And there was only 2 states that didn't have one. And
yes,
Washington was one of them.
Exactly. So I was getting my nails done about the time the governor made the announcement. I'll be honest. And it felt surreal because
Let's picture that. Let's picture that.
Okay,
I'm getting your nails done. Okay,
yes,
paint a picture for us.
So I'm in the salon. I am wearing my mask. I am surrounded by plexiglass. I'm separated from others with the plexiglass. We're all wearing masks. It's just a different kind of experience. And then I got a text from G saying that June 30th was the date. So I told everyone around me about the news. And while we're all feeling good about it, I got to admit, it's still something that I'm trying to absorb even now, even this morning. Like, okay, how is it really going to change? So I've been fully vaccinated for about a month. I have felt much more confident going into restaurants and shopping centers, and I've been living my best life trying to. I'm going to be driving to the coast today, so all those things are great. But I also know that there are going to be people who are going to just maybe not be ready to either do away with the mask, because that's what a lot of people were saying in the salons. Like, well, you know, it's gone so well so far. Why would I change that? So I'm trying to think. I'm still trying to think. And we wanted to ask all of you. So text us at 98973. With the governor's announcement yesterday, how do you feel about Washington reopening on June 30th? What exactly is going to be changing for you? Are you ready to go back into the office? And again, for me, I've been coming into the office every day since the pandemic started.
Wow.
So that's not really going to change for me either. But text us at 98973, and we're going to discuss that coming up at 9:45. So if you are fully vaccinated, the latest CDC guidance says that you no longer need to mask up outdoors or in many indoor settings. Here's CDC Director Rochelle Walensky.
In the last 2 weeks, our cases have come down by a third. So really, we have a rapidly declining case rate, probably because our vaccination rate is going up.
On CBS This Morning, Walensky was asked whether unvaccinated Americans could take advantage of this new guidance.
If you have several people in the room and some are vaccinated and some are not, and they've all chosen to take off their masks, it's the vaccinated people who will be protected.
And our state is going to be updating guidance about masks to follow the CDC's lead. If you hate wearing them, the governor says you just need to get the vaccine.
That shot is a ticket to freedom for masks, and we hope people will avail themselves to it.
Yeah, and see, even I'm confused about this. There's two stories we've just done. They're like the same story to me, but they're sort of different. You know what I mean? It's really hard to keep track, whether it's phase two or phase three, whether yesterday was about June 30th. On the state level, or masks on the national level, it's kind of confusing sometimes.
Well, I'll tell you what it means is we're now talking about fully reopening instead of, hey, who's going to be in danger of rolling back? Even the Pierce County and the other counties that were rolled back to phase two, the governor's saying next Tuesday, even if your metrics are not in alignment, you can still move to phase three. And this is all about opening up. And again, it's because, and I had to look at it, it's because the three things that they said were the change makers were the availability of the vaccine, the number of people who are actually getting the vaccine, so getting closer to that herd immunity, especially in places like here in Washington and King County. And then also what the CDC director says is more recent evidence, again, that shows that if you are fully vaccinated, your risk of getting COVID is down and your risk of spreading it is down. It's not zero, but it's really, 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 really reduced.
Yeah, and that's the part that gets lost in all this story is how crazily effective the vaccine is.
Exactly.
Like, well, and that just blows me away when I stop and think about that.
Yeah, and all these incentives, I think, again, instead of always focusing on the incentives, not everyone can offer $1 million. I think they need to just do a better job of educating. Okay, so remember when Kroger got rid of that $2 an hour hazard pay, or the hero bonus, as they called it, for workers at their QFC and Fred Meyer stores? That was about 2 months into the pandemic. You're laughing because now we're learning that CEO Rodney McMullen was paid more than $22 million last year. That was actually his largest paycheck since he became Kroger's boss in 2014. And we're just learning about it now because it was disclosed yesterday in a regulatory filing. So his salary rose almost 6% from the prior year, thanks to a bigger bonus and a larger package of stock awards and a salary increase. But pay for Kroger's median employee fell 8% last year to $24,000.
Boy, if we were looking for a poster child for the issue of CEO pay versus worker pay, I think we found the poster child here. Because, I mean, grocery stores, of course, did really well during the pandemic, and they have because people have been stocking up and eating at home, right? But the idea that this guy gets paid that huge amount for last year, while they're cutting back on that pay, when those are the people who've been the frontline workers, I think about what an idiot it was to go and spend an hour in a grocery store as just a shopper. But to be in there for 6-8 hours a day without a vaccination, you know, before the vaccine's available, and then not get paid extra for that, that reflects the profits they're making, there's something wrong there.
Well, it is, and you call them heroes, and you call them, and it's not just QFC and Fred Meyer or Kroger, but like you said, it can be used as a poster child. But it was many other businesses where you say, these are our heroes. These are our people who are putting their lives on the line. And then you're squawking about paying them, you know, $2 more per hour, or you're saying that because of the mandated, you know, increase in pay, you're going to shut down two stores. I just have never bought that. And then you find out this guy makes $22 million last year while so many people are going jobless. And I get it. You know, you're going to pay your CEOs a lot of money, and they answer to shareholders, and it's all about, you know, how much profit you can bring, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. But we're talking about, you know, measly amounts of increases. And I'm looking at this here. The one thing that Kroger is saying is that they're going to try to increase the average hourly wage to $16 an hour, up from $15.50 an hour.
Do you think like a year or two from now, people will forget? I mean, we're talking about the heroes of frontline workers, whether they're transit employees or grocery employees, people who couldn't work from home. Otherwise, we all would have suffered during the pandemic in the way many of us didn't because of our privilege. Do you think like a year or two from now, we'll sort of forget about it and they'll just be, you know, box boys and checkers again and bus drivers and don't really care?
I don't think it's going to be a year from now. I think we have forgotten that already.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Okay, so Amazon is still hiring at a record pace. The company wants to hire 75,000 new workers for its fulfillment and logistics network, including more than 2,000 jobs in Washington alone. And these jobs are offering an average starting wage of $17 an hour, with $1,000 signing bonuses at many locations, plus, here you go, an additional $100 for those new hires who show proof of a COVID vaccination.
Maybe Rodney McMullen from Kroger will apply for a job at Amazon. No, I mean, Amazon, of course, another business that during the pandemic has just gone gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
Very profitable for their high-paid employees, very profitable for their shareholders and everything like that. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's how it works. But again, it just seems like there's sort of there's a mismatch between the language and the reality, and something that doesn't feel sustainable for, you know, an economy where people actually work jobs that, you know, they can make a living and raise a family and all that sort of stuff. And they aren't just supporting billions and billions of dollars in profits rather than actually sharing what's being earned.
I want to hear from anyone who would, either if it's for a burger and fries or an additional $100, are these little incentives more apt to make you want to get a vaccine if you're on the fence? Because I don't think it's going to change anyone's mind, unless you're talking about like the $1 million in Ohio.
I'd do it for a million, yeah, for sure. Or for a chance,
that,
even. You know,
yeah.
You can't win if you don't play.
But
right?
that's where I just think we need to do a better job of educating. You know, educating, tell the good and the bad. And every time we bring this up, people are like, you're not talking enough about the negative effects. You know, we have been really open and upfront about our own side effects that we got from the vaccine. G and mm-hmm. I, you said you got one. Did you have?
Oh, my second dose about 10 days ago. I was knocked flat for a couple of days on a Pfizer second dose. Yeah, I was out of it for a whole weekend. Yeah.
And Chef had talked about his experience yesterday, and he had a really high fever after the second Moderna shot. It was fine. For me, I didn't have much more than just, you know, some aches and such. But in any case, it's just, it's interesting to see how many things that everyone's throwing in there, and maybe it just requires more education versus all these incentives.
But have you seen anyone persuaded by any information lately? I mean, in a mass sense, like people like, oh, hey, that's a good idea. I think we should do that. No, it seems like it's everyone's kind of entrenched and they have their opinion and they just kind of stick with it unless someone gives them $1 million.
Well, I think there is that. Yeah, I think there is that. 30% or so who are kind of on the fence. They just need more encouragement or a little more time.
Oh, and I think the swing more voters, yeah, who mess up every election by voting for whoever.
I just
whoever
look
has
at
the
it
best
as,
TV
hey,
commercial.
They just need a little more encouragement. And what encourages you? The more you're informed. That's what
a
I
donut,
believe.
A free donut.
No, I don't know. But New York Mayor Bill de Blasio munching on fries yesterday, that was annoying. That would not convince me to go get a vaccine.
This guy was telling people to go to restaurants at the start of the pandemic. Anyway, yeah, now moving on.
Right.
Here we are. Wow. Only been a couple of years.
Okay, this was a request from you. You wanted this music. Who are these people?
That's the Posies. That's the Posies, one of the great Seattle bands, originally from the 1980s, still performing, still going around. I went to school with these guys. I knew them back in the late 80s. I was in a band. when I would play what I could play and hear what they could play, I felt like I was a caveman hitting a rock against a wall. These are, they're like another species, all multi-instrumentalists, singing harmonies and stuff. We're just over in the corner, like, groaning and, like, drooling, and they're just making some unintelligible noise. So, always admired the Posies. Great guys. Great
Well,
band.
The Posies are going to be playing at Zoo Tunes at Woodland Park Zoo coming up here on July 18th. So, if you have been craving live shows and live music, Woodland Park has just announced that its popular Zoo Tunes is going to be back this summer. If you guys haven't had a chance to spend a late afternoon evening at the Woodland Park Zoo for one of these concerts, you have been missing out. It's amazing.
Oh, yeah. I saw Ziggy Marley there maybe 10 years ago. She still remembered vividly. Just a great setting, great music. Just great to be around people again, probably.
100%. So again, you know, if you're talking about incentives and you want to be around people and you've been craving music, and maybe that's something that also gets you off the fence when it comes to vaccine. The other thing is the Evergreen State Fair is coming back after being called off in 2020. So the fair is going to run August 26th through September 6th. And I love the theme. This year, the theme is Back in the Saddle Again, Open for Fun in 2021. I think that's how we're all feeling, right?
Yeah, exactly.
We're back in the saddle again.
Why didn't Jay Inslee say that yesterday? We're going to be open for fun on June 30th, 2021. That's what he should have said.
Well, it's because he had some other cliches, including, what was it? The
let's go to the Apple Maggot quarantine area? No, that was last time.
That's so bad.
That's terrible. I love that, though.
Okay, still ahead. A lot of our listeners have been asking where our colleague and friend Chris Sullivan has been the past 2 weeks. He has been battling COVID, and he's going to be sharing his story with all of us next. You're listening to The G and Ursula Show.
If I can't live with myself, how could you live with me?
Welcome back to the G and Ursula Show. G is off today. Felix Bunnell is co-piloting with me this morning. And just a reminder, coming up at 9:45, we want to hear from you. With Governor Inslee's announcement yesterday about reopening the state on June 30th, how do you feel about that? What is going to change for you? Are you ready to go back into the office? Again, text us at 98973. You can also comment on our G and Ursula Show Facebook page. We have seen quite a few comments on there as well. And then we will share all your community members' feelings coming up at 9:47 or so. But right now we want to bring in one of our favorite people in the world, someone we've been concerned about, someone all of you have been concerned about, and that is Chris Sullivan, who's been going through a really rough stretch with COVID, and we're so happy that we can hear his voice again this morning. Hi, Sully.
Hey, Ursula.
Okay, as you know, I've been bugging you.
Hey, Felix. Yeah, you have.
I have been bugging you, and I'm so sorry to bug you, but I have been so worried. So, how are you doing?
You hired me, so you're like my mother, even though we're basically the same age. So I understand you've got a vested interest.
Well, it goes way beyond that.
You're so great. I mean, I love you to death.
And I love you to death.
And you've been so instrumental just kind of in keeping tabs and helping me along the way over the last couple of weeks. And yeah, I appreciate it. I really do.
So tell us, when did you start feeling the symptoms? And I'll be honest, right before you got sick, you had actually come onto our show and talked about your visit to Montana. And you were, I think you kind of mentioned you were a little concerned that they had different levels of safety there.
Idaho, Montana, much different world. And, you know, I was kind of joking. I think I joked with G on that Monday morning when we got back from Tommy's football game. Tommy hadn't had a chance to do his thing in a year, really. And if we had an opportunity to go see his spring football game at Montana State, we were going to do it. And, you know, we didn't take any unnecessary risks, but there, you know, there are no mask mandates. The social distancing was minimal. And, you know, whether we caught it in a, you know, trying to grab a pizza in Idaho that Thursday night or Friday when we met with parents of members of the team that we'd had never met before, or that 20 minutes when we got stuck at a college bar when we were just trying to find something to eat because the bars were closing. Bozeman may be a college town, but the kitchens all close at 9, and we hadn't eaten all day. We were just starving, and when we realized, oh, boy, we're in a place of like 1,000 people with no mask, college bar, we're like, we got to get the hell out of here. And, you know, whether it was there that we got it or not, I mean, we ended up eating at a gas station Mexican restaurant because we were just trying to find anything to eat. There were hour and a half waits at all the Burger King, McDonald's. It was crazy. There was nothing to eat. And so we got caught up. I don't think we took any unnecessary risks. We took some calculated risks, certainly as parents, to go see our son. And whether or not that's exactly where we got it, I can't say for sure, I'm pretty sure it was on that trip, certainly. Yeah.
So when did you start? Go ahead.
I say you sound pretty good, Chris. Well, I mean, I'm frankly, I'm surprised.
I don't feel it. It's a lie. Yeah. My voice is a lie.
Okay. Well, you're doing a great job. I'm so glad you are feeling better. What was the worst you've experienced?
Well, you know, and here's the thing, and here's what I want people to kind of understand. And you know, it's hard to report this, even though we've been doing this for more than a year. You know, when we talk about symptoms and we talk about things, it's very generic. And what I want people to understand is what I experienced, and whether it's different from the norm or par for the course or what, this is something that's possible. This thing attacked me in relentless waves. It wasn't just one set of symptoms. It was, first, it kind of gave me the sinus kind of stuff when it started. Those first couple days when I, you know, came back to work, I didn't think I was in bad shape. And then when I tested positive on that Thursday 2 weeks ago, that's when, I mean, the door just slammed. It went from coughing and breathing to the worst sore throat I think I've ever had in my life. But as soon as my body started attacking and getting after it, COVID went somewhere else. It's like, oh, yeah, you think you got it? I don't know. Let's have diarrhea and throwing up for 2 straight days. You know what? And while you think you got that handled? You know what? Maybe now we'll hit you with a 102-degree temperature. You know, it didn't all come at once. It came in waves, and it was relentless, and it was almost like it was going, it was like, oh, let's see if your immune system can handle this. Oh, it did? Great. Well, you know what? Let me slam you with the worst headache you've ever had. Oh, and by the way, you want to eat? Good luck. Let's get rid of any appetite. I didn't eat for 10 days. Ugh, I went to the hospital 3 times. Two just to get fluids. The third time, my doctor was at him. He's like, Chris, we got to admit you. We got to admit you. We got to admit you. I'm like, okay. But then I got to the hospital, third time, same one. And, you know, that's just not how it works. Your doctor could want to admit you all you want. But if you don't meet the criteria, you're not getting a bed. Oh, and that's fine. I get it. I had just enough positive oxygenation at in my extremities and good enough breathing that, excuse me, I wasn't eligible to go in. So I went in last Friday thinking I was going to be admitted, packed a bag, the whole deal. And then, no, even though my doctor wanted me to, the admitting doctor was like, listen, Chris, you're not as bad as you think. I'm like, really? This kind of sucks. And you're thinking I've got moderate symptoms? Dear God. I mean, and then the lot, you know, the fever, the stomach. I mean, it hit everything. I had everything. I mean, and then came the days where my chest kind of, you know, I have liquid in my lungs. I mean, they took several chest x-rays. Not bad, thank God, but enough to do that. And then came from all the throwing up and the dry heaving and all of that stuff, my throat was basically full of dried blood. It still is. I mean, I was coughing up bloody phlegm, basically jellyfish the size of dollar coins. I mean, I was sitting there one time, I was holding one, and Holly was looking at me like I was an incredibly disgusting, like, 7-year-old boy. And I'm just looking at this thing, I'm like, this thing came out of me. What the hell? Man. You know? And so I kind of held on to it for a little while, then I took it and I threw it over the fence out of the backyard because I was like, I didn't know what to do with it. I was afraid it might stop up the toilet. The thing was so big.
Sully, who lives on the other side of the fence?
Okay. I know.
Right now, a bunch of mutant phlegm fish in our retention pond.
Okay. Felix, you're laughing, but I know Sully well enough, and you're putting on a brave face, but I also hear that it's hard for you to breathe right now.
Yeah, it is. You can hear me. It's difficult coming up the stairs to get into the studio. Yeah, I have zero energy, nothing. And the taste and smell was one thing, but that's kind of come back in most cases. Unfortunately, not for Diet Coke. Diet Coke still doesn't taste good. I can't figure that out. It's really weird. I mean, I taste most everything else, but diet, you know, the weirdest thing about losing taste and smell for me as a much of a Diet Coke kind of fiend as I am, I couldn't even taste or sense the bubbles.
Wow.
Or the carbonation. It was like everything. I opened it up and I knew what should have smelled or effervesced there. Nothing. I was like, wow. So I haven't had a Diet Coke in 2 weeks either. I'm sure I'm going through withdrawals with that. But you know, just, and I said this last hour and I got really emotional and, but I swear to God, without Holly, my wife, I know she got sick too. She tested negative, but she had some symptoms. Mm-hmm. Thank God, nowhere near as bad as mine. I don't know where I'd be without her. I mean, in all life, not just the last 2 weeks, but she's been amazing.
She is amazing. And, yes.
And, and she, you know, from her trying to force me to eat, to do whatever, to just try to stay positive, she's been tremendous. And I don't know where I'd be without her.
And as you know, I mean, you are fortunate to have Holly there with you. And I'd imagine that you couldn't even see yourself trying to fight this on your own, which... So
no, and when she kept was getting sicker, and she was her symptoms were getting a little bit more and a little bit more. Yeah. I'm like, oh dear God, if she goes down, we're hosed. Because you know, at that point, if you're both down in a household, what do you do? But thankfully, her symptoms were not as bad. She may have had COVID a year ago, like early on. We're talking February 2020, maybe as well. We've been thinking, and so maybe she had some antibodies already in there when we got hit with whatever this was. Thank God, but fortunately, she's been better. She's been able to work throughout this and basically keep me alive. And I, as I said, I don't know where I'd be without her. And going forward, I'm going to have to rely on her like I never have to kind of work my way through this.
Sully, and your positivity is just one of the millions of things that we love about you.
Yep.
But I am guessing that you have some fear too about.
There were times
effects.
I thought I was going to die. I mean, that's first and foremost. There were times last weekend I was like, am I going to get out of this? And I know, you know, my symptoms are what they are, that, you know, I'm starting to worry about, okay, am I a long hauler? Do I know? You know, what will we know? I mean, I'm only a couple days really kind of not being contagious out of this, where I'm, you know, I'm drinking like protein shakes and eating little bits of cereal. I had a solid bowel movement yesterday for the first time in 2.5 weeks. I got out of the bathroom and I just dropped the F-bomb at Holly and slammed the door. And she's like, what? I'm like, I just took a blank. I mean, that's just the little things. I mean...
That's magical radio, folks, right there. That's just, magical radio.
It is. It's the reality of it, Felix, man. I know.
And I love your sense of humor, Chris. That's why I love you so much. You got this. I'm not worried about you anymore. You know, thinking last week this was going on. No, but I'm not. You're going to get through this. I can tell. It's your spirit's there, and that's the most important thing, right?
Well, you know, and we got a flight for Tommy tomorrow. To have him come home. He was sleeping on the floor of a friend because we weren't be able to get him out of his dorm in Bozeman because we were gone for this. He's been a trooper, just kind of, and so he'll be able to come home for a couple days before he heads right back out to football here at the end of the month. But, you know, so it'll be good for my soul to see him again. And,
you know,
it's just
everyone who's listening right now, please go on to our G and Ursula Show Facebook page. We've posted a picture of Sully because you were very open about it. You've lost
a
bunch of weight.
That's a great shot, isn't it?
You've lost a bunch of weight.
People are like, hey, you look great. I'm like, are you kidding me? There used to be muscle on that frame. I don't know what I look like.
Your face has a look of concern.
I look like Abraham Lincoln. That's how gaunt I am. Holly's like, your eyes are sunk into your face.
Okay, and just one thing real quick, because we are so way over time right now, but we really wanted to hear from you. No. It's so awesome to hear from you. You know, with us reopening on the 30th of June and, you know, all the big announcements happening, what is your one thing that you want people listening right now to know?
Just be careful if you haven't had it. You know, if you're getting your vaccine, you're doing your thing, that's great. We hadn't gotten our vaccines yet because of some adverse reactions I had had to some vaccines recently, the shingles one in particular. And so we were waiting until our travel was done. Be smart. Try not to fall into the peer pressure kind of like we did in Idaho and Montana. You know, if you feel comfortable wearing a mask but everyone else isn't, wear your mask. Get a vaccine if you didn't think about it. But this thing's the real deal. This isn't a cough. This is a flu. This thing will reach up and will attack every part of your body. And when my doctor said this was probably mild, I mean, there are people out there in much worse shape than me, and there are people that are still dying. And, you know, I don't think we took any dumb risks, but, you know, even if you're the holier than thou, oh, you were stupid, you were stupid. It can happen to anybody. It just takes one little wrong little circumstance or something. Get your vaccine. Love your family. Tell them that. Because this thing can go away pretty quickly. And make sure the people in your life that you love know that you love them. Because it can go pretty quick. And I'm just glad that I'm here to talk to you guys. And darn it, I wasn't going to lose it a second time.
Sully.
We love you, Sully. Go throw another oyster over the fence or jellyfish, whatever it is. That'll make you feel better.
I didn't know what else to describe that thing, Felix. It was the grossest thing I've ever seen in my life.
I can't unsee it anymore. It's there for me now, too.
Oh, God, no.
Okay, don't make him cough. Don't make him cough. Sully, we love you. We love you. We love you. And get well. Take care. Take all the time you need. And we'll send positive juju and prayers and everything for your full recovery.
Appreciate it. Love you guys so much. Just thanks for letting me share my opportunity and share my story. And thank you to all the listeners and fans that have been reaching out to me that during all of this. I kept a lot of this on the down low. I know I most likely got a coworker sick, and that made me feel even worse. And I'm incredibly
you know, that,
that
was
sad
not intentional,
that.
But you're
but
sharing your story
still,
and you're
happened.
Saving lives. You're saving
and,
lives.
And I'm sad about that, but thank you to everyone who's showed concern. It's really kind of kept a little bit of wind in the sails. Thank you.
Love you.
Right on. Amen, Chris.
Okay, coming up, if we have any time, we just wanted to make sure that you heard that, and we do love him so much and are really worried, so it's great to hear Chris's voice. But let us know. Text us at 98973. How do you feel about reopening on June 30th? What's going to change for you? We're going to discuss that next. This is the G and Ursula Show. Coming up at 10:06, we will have our Friday conversation with Michael Medved, and we'll talk about the three things that you need to know. And because of our conversation with our friend and colleague, Chris Sullivan, who has been fighting COVID for the past 2 weeks. We're going to have a very shortened segment here, but I just want to say it was so great to hear from Sully.
Yeah, it really
Felix.
Was. It really was. Yeah. And his, you know, I was saying at the end of it, I am really encouraged. I know he's very ill and he has been very ill, but that his energy level is there. I can tell he's going to recover. He's going to get past it. But boy, what a scary couple of weeks for him and his whole family and for everybody, really.
Absolutely. So we asked for your reaction to Governor Inslee's announcement. And 206 says, here's what it means, Ursula. It means I can get my job back. I'm in the commercial facilities business. And when people go back to work in person, they need facility support. I just got a promotion to an amazing job last February. And then I was laid off in September because everyone was working from home. This is the best news ever. I'm done with masks. Done.
253 says, I had no interest in getting the vaccine, not out of any sense of hesitancy, but I lacked faith in the idea of going back to normal with all the moving goalposts. Having seen the plan for opening up and a real end in sight, I have reconsidered my initial opposition and made my first dose appointment for next week.
Hallelujah. Thank goodness. 425 says, I immediately bought a lanyard and a COVID vaccine card holder, so when I go in public without a mask, everyone's going to know I'm good. They sell them on Amazon, and I feel that we all should wear one if we're going to go maskless. What do you think? That's a good idea.
Another reason for another accessory.
Okay, stay with us. This is the G and Ursula Show.